29th, with Wimbledon in full swing and second-ranked Rafael Nadal suffering his worst defeat in a Grand Slam by 100th-ranked Lucas Rosol, I was reminded of this.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Of course, that was John McEnroe back in 1981 screaming at the line judge for an errant call during another Wimbledon match. Similarly, folks, I found myself screaming, "You can't be serious," at the TV yesterday in response to the Supreme Court's decision on Obamacare. My friends at First Trust had this to say. In one of the least likely outcomes in Supreme Court history, Chief Justice Roberts, who was widely considered a conservative voice on the court, proved to be the swing vote in one of the largest expansions of U.S. government involvement in the economy ever. Justice Kennedy, who many feared would be the swing vote in favor of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, joined Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito in dissenting against the new law. In his oral statement, the Supreme Court Judge Kennedy said, quote, "In our view, the entire act before us is invalid in its entirety," close quote. In other words, if Roberts would have joined those four judges, the entire law would probably have been struck down. Instead, the Chief Justice threaded the needle and said that while the Commerce Clause would not allow Obamacare, the power of Congress to tax and spend does allow it. In other words, you can be taxed if you don't buy health care insurance. Now, as far as we know, this is the only tax in American history that can be levied for not doing something. The tax is 2.5% of income with a ceiling linked to the average cost of insurance and a floor of $695 no matter what your income. The ACA described this as a penalty which Roberts says was not constitutional under the Commerce Clause. Nonetheless, he argued that it is not our, that would be the Supreme Court's job to protect the people from the consequences of their political choices. As a result, he found a way to make Obamacare constitutional by using the argument that it is a tax and not a penalty. And I would point out that that is completely contrary to what the president and the administration are calling it. Nevertheless, with that decision, stocks sunk, bringing even more trading trepidation than we have experienced since the May 1st high. My advice since then has been to try and manage the risks, exercise patience, and above all, stay calm. Now consider this from one of Wall Street's savvy seers. Calm down. Nothing created by the mind of man has ever equaled the stock market in terms of its sheer ability to frustrate people. Why is this? The answer is that the stock market frustrates because millions of traders and investors across the face of the U.S. as well as the world are trying to take money out of the market. Now, when millions of people are trying to take money out of the various markets, you know right off the bat that it's a difficult task. A majority of people are not fated to make money doing anything, much less beat the stock market. It's not fair, you complained. Why can't all those nice, well-meaning people make money with their trading and investing? Well, there's one simple fact that makes it difficult, and that fact is, throughout history, going back to the days of primitive barter, there have always been a small number of financial winners, and there has always been a larger number of financial losers. So when we state that the stock market is frustrating, we must qualify the statement by asking, frustrating to whom? And the answer again is that the stock market is frustrating to the majority of participants, but rewarding to a smaller minority of well-informed, hard-working, intelligent participants. The next question is, what do you have to do to be one of the minority of investment winners? And the answer, you have to work and work hard. It's an ironic fact that people are willing to work hard and put in long hours in their own businesses or on their jobs, but then they think they can turn around and make easy money in the stock market or the bond market or even the commodity markets. Beating the markets, folks, is the hardest endeavor in the world, and these optimists believe that with a modicum of knowledge, a little study, and a large portion of luck, they can make money playing the various markets. It doesn't work that way, never has, never will. This morning, however, patience and the mantra, you can be cautious but don't get bearish, is being rewarded. For as surmised over the past few weeks, the European politicians are cranking up the printing presses. And that was the news that caused the late upside reversal yesterday, as well as what has the pre-opening S&P futures printing 25 points higher as I speak. Indeed, as repeatedly stated, politicians in Europe are the same as they are here. They do not want to lose their power. And if the EU implodes, they all lose their power. This is why I've repeatedly said that they're going to paper over this and try to buy more time, the same thing we did with our financial fiasco back in late 07, 08, and early 09. And it worked here, and we'll have to see if it works over there. But I continue to think that they will do what's ever necessary to try and buy more time. So what do these two events, Obamacare and the European news this morning, mean for our markets? Well, to me, the big pattern remains bullish, which is why I have been stating that I am treating the June 4th closing low of 1278 and the June 4th intraday low of 1266 as the daily and intermediate term cycle lows. Of course, that bullish call would change if those cycle lows are violated to the downside. But unless there's some kind of black swan event, I don't expect that violation to happen. Moreover, even though we didn't get that dip into the 1290-1300 zone I was looking for earlier this week, yesterday's late upside reversal sure felt like a secondary bottom to me. And the fact that the energy stocks diverged is probably a signal that crude oil has also put in a near-term low. Now, yesterday's potential bottom would gain a lot more traction if the S&P can decisively break out above that 1360 level I've talked about. We've talked about it being range-bound between 1290 and 1360 for a while. And if it can break out above that range, and that would be above 1360, it would certainly be a step in the right direction. Now, until that happens, participants wishing to put some cash back to work should probably consider names that are non-market correlated, like Johnson & Johnson, J&J, Covanta, which is waste to electricity, CVA, and Rainier Timberlands, RYN. Its name speaks for itself. All of those are favorably rated from our fundamental analyst, and all of which have pretty decent yields. That leaves the call for today. Yesterday's reversal sure felt like a trading bottom to me. That view gains credibility if the S&P can decisively close above 1360, because there is a ton of internal energy on my indicators available for a strong move from here.
There is no assurance any of the trends mentioned will continue in the future. Investors should consider the investment objectives, risks, and charges and expenses of mutual funds carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about this investment. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor and should be read carefully before investing. Investments are subject to risks that will affect their value, including political, regulatory, market, and economic risks. Investors may realize a profit or loss.